You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
And also, this semester, spiritually, we have talked about a lot. We've talked about our identity, belonging, and purpose, and how to find that in Christ. And then we've also talked about how to be mentally prepared to maintain that faith when we face something difficult. But maybe the natural question that can kind of come from a study like we've had so far this semester is, okay, but has a real person ever lived this type of faith out? Like, has a real person actually ever had that faith? And something that's sweet is we have people like Bemi, who just shared her testimony a few minutes ago, and we have your life group leaders who are actually being transformed by Christ right now, who actually have a living and active faith in Jesus, and we can hear about it, we can witness it, and we can be inspired by their faith. But the Bible is also full of other real people whose lives and faith we can study and look to. And tonight and next week, we are going to study the life of Peter, who is just an ordinary guy who decided to follow Jesus, and his life was transformed by that decision. And his story is recorded in the Bible, and as we study his life, we are going to discover some insights into building a faith that lasts. In fact, tonight we are going to talk about three necessities for a faith that lasts. And so if you would you open up your Bibles with me to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. And as we're preparing for this study, maybe you are longing to have a faith that lasts. Maybe you are wondering, how can you be stronger in your faith? Maybe someone at school or on social media makes a negative comment about Christians, and you don't know how to respond. Maybe you don't feel safe enough to admit that you're a Christian. Maybe you don't know how to, like, stick to your faith in that moment. Maybe your friends, you're following Jesus together, things seem okay, and then all of a sudden something happens and you feel betrayed by your friends. Or a family member is sick, or there's some sort of argument or drama going on. And in those moments, maybe you're tempted to run away from Jesus. And maybe you think, well, maybe Jesus isn't the best way to live my life because all of this is going on and I just want to do my own thing. I just want to do what feels good. And maybe in those moments, instead, you're wondering, how do I turn to God and have a faith that lasts instead of choosing myself or what feels better in that moment? Or maybe you don't follow Jesus at all yet, and we're so glad that you're here. And maybe you're wondering, what does faith in Christ actually look like? We're going to talk about all of those things as we study the life of Peter. So let's meet him. In the Bible, we are introduced to Peter in the beginning of all the Gospels. And I do want to take a moment to, like, notice the difference between capital G Gospel and little g the Gospels. So maybe you've heard that before. Like, people talk about the Gospel, the good news of Jesus. Or they talk about the Gospels, like the Gospel of Matthew. And the difference there is the gospel, capital G, refers to the good news of Jesus Christ. That Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That the big G gospel is the truth that because of our sin, we were separated from Christ, but he loved us so much that he came to live the perfect life you and I never could. So when he was wrongfully put to death on the cross, he was the perfect payment for our sin. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death and offering all of us new life in him if we only put our faith in him. But the little g gospels are the biblical accounts, so like the historical stories in the Bible of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection, his ministry. And can anybody tell me what are the names of the four gospels? I have some candy for you if you tell me one. I meant to bring it up on stage, but I forgot it, so I'll have to give it to you a little bit later. Levi, what's one of the gospels? Matthew, amen. Katerina? Mark? Rebecca? Luke? We got one more. Who's that? Eric? John? Amen. Great job, you guys. I have candy for you, but it's in my fanny pack, and I'm not really sure where that is. So we'll get it. Yeah, thanks, Mackie. We'll get it to you. We'll get it to you on your way to life groups. But yes, those are the Gospels. And for our study tonight, we're mostly going to be looking at Peter's story as it's recorded in the Gospel of John. So let's read John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah. That is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. So here, Jesus has revealed himself to Andrew, and I think it's so beautiful that scripture says the very first thing that Andrew does is he goes and tells someone else. And it's not just anyone else, it's his brother, someone who he loves. So Andrew tells Peter, Simon, at this time, and Simon runs to Jesus, and when he meets Jesus, Jesus gives him a new name and calls him Peter. And there's a couple really interesting things going on here. First, for a faith that lasts, we need friends who point us to Jesus. We need people like Andrew who said, "Hey, I think I just found the Savior of the world. I can't keep that news to myself. I've got to tell someone else." And in order to have a faith that lasts, HSM, we can't live out our faith alone. We need other people to bring us to Jesus because sometimes it's hard for us to go to Jesus on our own. We forget, or we get lazy, or we go through a season where we don't feel as close to God. And our friends can remind us of God's goodness and help us go to him. And let's like kind of flip that. If you do know Jesus, be a good friend to other people by pointing them to Jesus. If you want good friends, the key is to be a good friend first. And in order to be like the best friend you could ever be, point other people to Jesus. And what's also beautiful about that is that God helps us be a friend to others by being our best friend first and the perfect friend. So it's this beautiful relationship that happens when we follow Jesus. We do it with friends. And something else I want us to notice from this passage is that Jesus renames Peter. A pretty significant theme in the Bible is God giving people a new name. And that's usually very symbolic and meaningful. And it indicates that God is doing something deeper in their hearts and in their souls than what's just going on the outside. And Cephas is in the Aramaic language. That's the language that Jesus spoke. And Peter is the same name in the Greek language. And both of those names translate to mean rock. And we're going to look more about what that means next week. But for now, I want you to note that when Peter came to Jesus, Jesus met him and gifted him with a new name. And that's one of Peter's first experiences with Jesus. And as one of Jesus' disciples or followers, Peter witnesses Jesus perform miracles and preach about God. And that's the second necessity. For a faith that lasts, you need to experience Jesus for yourself. Your friend's faith is not going to get you into heaven. Your parents' faith is not going to get you into heaven. And even like more important than getting into heaven, they're not going to be able to connect you with Jesus. We can learn from other people's faith, right? And even the faith of our life group leaders, we can be inspired by them, but they can't do what only Jesus can do. And that's be our gate, our door into heaven and experiencing him. And because Peter decided to follow Jesus, that's what a disciple means. He literally decided to follow Jesus around all of these days. Because Peter was up close to Jesus, he got to witness Jesus perform miracles. And we read about those in the Gospel of John. And I want to encourage us that God is still a miracle worker today. It might not necessarily be as like dramatic or intense as some of the stories that we read about in the Bible, but make no mistake, God is alive and he is working. And that's another important reason why we share testimonies, is because through our stories of how Jesus is working in our lives, we can be reminded that Jesus is still working miracles today. The key is to position ourselves in places where we can experience Jesus. That we can't necessarily control, like, okay, Jesus, I'm going to experience you right now. Like, usually that doesn't really work. But we can be intentional about positioning ourselves in a way that we, like, where the Holy Spirit is probably going to move. So I kind of think about it as a greenhouse. When I got to serve on an international missions trip this summer with our global missions team to Latvia, we got to visit very beautiful homes of people who were a part of the church, and we have a picture of one. And you can see this is Valentina. She's like the nicest follower of Christ I've ever met. And she didn't even speak English, so this is something that's like so beautiful. She prayed for us and our church multiple times in a language that we didn't even understand, but we were united through the Spirit, which was such a beautiful experience. And if you could see, behind us is her very own greenhouse. And a greenhouse is specifically made to help plants grow. So a greenhouse can control like humidity and temperature and light in order to get the plants to grow in the most effective way possible. And if you think about each of us as like little plants who want to grow in Jesus, if we intentionally place ourselves outside of the greenhouse, we're like not necessarily positioning ourselves to experience Jesus more. Like, it's like we want to be people who are planting ourselves in the greenhouse where we're like, okay, the conditions are here are going to be helpful in me experiencing Jesus. And here are just three ways that you can position yourself to experience Jesus this week, even tonight. Number one, read your Bible and pray every day. That's one of the reasons why we are committing to providing Bible reading plans for you, HSM, every single week. And this month, we're going to be reading through the whole Gospel of John. We want to walk with you and encourage you, just like we've shared from the beginning of this semester and even from the summer, that it's Gavin and I's vision and prayer that HSM would be a community that loves God's word. Number two, serve. I love what Hannah brought up as she was sharing our announcements earlier tonight, that serving is a way to use the gifts that God has given you. And what's amazing about the way that God designed serving is when we serve other people, we're not really focusing on ourselves, and yet somehow God blesses us as we give our life away. Like as we are generous with our time and our energy and our service, that God like reveals himself to us. And so that's another way to position yourself to experience Jesus. And so if you are not yet regularly serving on Sundays, that is your next step. And if you are serving on Sundays, that's so awesome. I love walking around and seeing our HSMers like being a vital part of the ministry that God is doing here on Sundays. But don't just stop at Sundays. Like look at opportunities to serve your family and your teachers and your friends. Serve. And then number three, lean into your life group. As we have talked about, community can help point us to Christ. And so I would encourage you in your life groups, take that time seriously. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. And if someone shares vulnerably, show them love by listening to them and encouraging them. And I think you'll be amazed at how you see God move as you intentionally put yourself in these positions. And that's kind of what Peter did. He said, all right, Jesus, I'm going to be up close to you. I'm going to follow you. And you know what Peter got to experience? Just after what we read in John chapter 1, in John chapter 2, Jesus turns water into wine at a wedding. It's like pretty sick, you know? In John chapter 4, Jesus ministers to a Samaritan woman. He reveals that he is the Messiah, that he's the Savior to a woman. And in John chapter 5, Peter witnesses Jesus heal a man at the pool of Bethesda. And this all leads up to John chapter 6. Peter's witnessing all of these miracles. And in John 6, they keep coming. Jesus feeds 5,000 people, plus women and children, off of 5 fishes and 2 loaves. And then Jesus walks on water, like appears to his disciples doing the impossible. And then the disciples get to hear Jesus preach a message. And you would think that after all of these miracles and after Jesus is gaining all of these followers, you would think Jesus would give like a really like lighthearted message. And he would just like keep everything, you know, kind of fun and not so serious and not so hard because he wants to like keep all of these followers. But instead, Jesus preaches a really difficult, hard to swallow message. And if you turn with me to John chapter 6, starting in verse 29, Jesus answers the crowd, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And so the people ask him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" And they refer to their history. They said, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So Jesus is talking about like, you know, "I want you to believe in me." And the people are saying like, "Well, give us a sign, you know, because our ancestors, they were wandering in the desert for 40 years and God sent bread from heaven every single day to provide for them. So what will you do? If that's what our God does, what will you do?" And Jesus kind of makes this really bold claim and says, "Hey, it wasn't Moses that provided that bread. My Father provided it every day from heaven." And he's saying, "I'm God, that's my Father, that I've been the one who's providing it." And the people, the crowds at this point, they're kind of on board. And verse 34, they say, "Sir, always give us this bread. Like, if you have bread from heaven all the time, like give it to us." And then verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe." You see, Jesus is claiming here to be God. He says that "I am the bread of life that will ultimately nourish and satisfy the world." And that makes the Jewish people very upset because to them, Jesus is simply human. It's like if one of us just got up and said, like, "I am the bread of life. Like my Father is the one who's been providing for us. And whoever eats this bread will have eternal life." Like, people were saying, "Hey, Jesus, don't we know his parents who are human? Like, he's just this regular guy, and he's proclaiming to be God? Like, that is crazy." And so the Jews begin to argue about this. And they say, verse 52, they argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." If any of that was kind of weird to you, you're not alone. That this is as crazy as it sounds. Jesus is teaching that he is the bread of life, and he's telling his followers, hey, if you really want to follow me, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And for some of us, maybe if we've been following Jesus for a while or kind of like studying this, this sounds crazy, but maybe not like too crazy. Like, we know that Jesus here is explaining his death, which they haven't experienced yet. And so we know that he's talking about how he's going to sacrifice himself and invite all people to come to eternal life into him. We also know that he's symbolizing what we will come to know as communion, which is a symbol of, you know, eating the bread and drinking the cup to remember that Jesus saved us from our sin. But imagine hearing this for the first time. Or even like for us right now, like we read that and we're like, that is kind of crazy. And that's exactly how the people felt. And it says in verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you?" And skipping to verse 66, scripture says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." So because of like the high cost that Jesus asks of his followers, it said it was too hard for most of the people and they turned away. And Jesus then turns to his closest friends, his closest disciples, the 12. And I think you can like hear the pain in his heart. Verse 67, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. That Jesus is like, he's seeing all these people leave and he's turning to his closest friends and he's like, "I know that this is hard. Like, do you want to go too?" But verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Students, for a faith that lasts, you need to believe Jesus is Lord. This is a huge highlight moment of faith for Peter. That when so many disciples, when the masses turned their backs on Jesus, it probably would have been more comfortable for Peter to follow them. But instead, he believes so deeply in his soul because of what he's experienced for himself about Jesus. He's so convinced that there is nowhere else worth going. Peter believes Jesus' words to be true, that he is the bread of life and he will satisfy and bring his followers to eternal life. And instead of deserting Jesus, Peter sticks to his faith. He believed with his whole heart. He had the conviction, the deeply held belief that Jesus is Lord. And as we wrap up this study tonight, Peter's story is far from over. And he is not a perfect man, so he had this great moment of faith right here. But as we are going to study next week, he needed to learn even more how to have a faith that lasts. But for us, as we wrap up our time in God's word as a whole group, even our night is far from over. And we are about to head to our life groups, and as we prepare to do that, I want to give you a heads up of what to expect for the rest of tonight. during your life groups, we were praying for tonight, and we just felt like it was so fitting that after studying this passage, if you tonight, HSM, believe that Jesus is Lord, then we felt like it was really fitting to take communion together as a life group. And so your life group leaders will have communion elements and will lead you in that as a group before tonight is over.